for a different project.
Okay, thanks. I guess my only concern, and I'll leave it at this, Mr. Chairman, my only concern is that it seems to me we're applying two thresholds. One is a reasonable threshold, and the other is reasonable up to 1.5 million. And it sounds to me as if that may not be a concern.
Well, I think what we need to do is establish on the record that the way it reads and the way we understand it, and the legislative intent is to each application can't exceed 1.5 million, but it does not limit it to only one application. And, you know, we may wish to put language in there that there can be more than one application, just to make it really clear so creative lawyers don't get creative.
Mr. Chair, I guess I would suggest if we get that language, we maybe get it from Mr. Dickinson rather than from me, because he probably would know what he was doing.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could draw your attention to section 4382.160, which talks about multiple applications for similar or competing qualified projects.
Okay. And that's not in the bill. I think there's backup, just a minute. This is Marks. Or is this Dickerson? I'm sorry.
Dickinson or Roger Marks is the one who handed me the point. Is helping me out here, sir.
All right. The members have the statutes in their packet. And so it's 4382.160. Give us a minute. It feels like church. Turn to the right verse. Okay. 4382.160, multiple applications. Your point, sir?
Point being that, Mr. Chairman, that we already deal with it. Talk about there may be multiple applications. House Bill 16, it talks about there will be you may not exceed 1.5 million for each application.
Okay, so that looks pretty clear to me.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
That was a good point there, Senator Elton. Okay, is there any other questions for the gentleman from Department of Revenue? Hearing none, last but not least, there's Mark Myers from Oil and Gas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mark Myers, Division of Oil and Gas. And we'd just like to add DNR support to the project. We recognize, and particularly in our sole project, with over 35 TCF approved and over 100 TCF of additional potential gas, a gas pipeline enables development of Alaska's incredible gas resources for the next 50 years plus, just as TAPS has, and will continue to exceed its original expected output. As you've noted, the stranded gas bill sets the stage for broad-based technical negotiations between project sponsors and the administration, and is strongly supported by the administration as a vehicle to accelerate construction of a North Slope gas line. I won't go into all the sorts of kinds of negotiations. You're aware that negotiations can involve taxes, it can involve certain issues as well. And just again, we welcome bringing our the division's and the department's expertise along with the Department of Revenue, Department of Law, in on this matter to assist with the negotiations. Again, it seems that the Stranded Gas Act could be a critical vehicle to accelerating the North Slope, North Slope reserves, and potentially, like as you have noted, maybe in other areas like Manitoba Basin where there might be for another project. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Myers. You know, anybody have any questions, Mr. Myers? You know, there's a noticeable difference, Mr. Myers, between last time we had a joint pipeline committee and the level of people that showed an interest and showed up and testified, and, you know, we had Duke Energy and Anadarko and BP and Exxon and a few others that would show up and really have a dog in the fight and be interested in. Seems kind of quiet right now. There's ConocoPhillips has testified, which we really appreciate. But what's your read on that?
Mr. Chairman, I think we're looking at a very good opportunity for development of the gas. You've seen the higher gas prices. I think the last year has illustrated the supply in North America is problematic to keep up with demand. Again, that's been very clear by the decline in both the Gulf of Mexico and in the Western Canadian Sedimentary Basin. The higher prices seem to, we've seen to hit a benchmark of generally higher prices. So I think overall people are more optimistic about a gas line. I think, you know, a lot of things, a lot of turmoil in the world going on with the war in the Persian Gulf and other issues, and that may be affecting folks. I do think there are a tremendous number of people interested in the project. I know that the three major producers in the North Slope are very interested. I also really depend on their interest in this legislation. So I wouldn't say there's not interest. I can't explain why they're not here today, but I do know there is, I would say, more optimism on this project now than I've seen in the last several years.
Okay, well, we had some discussion about maybe some unintended consequences here. The language is written, so granted there's a short-term window here, about 2 years, but it's written so it doesn't make any reference to a route or natural gas, you know, the location of the natural gas, like North Slope gas. And I read it that somebody else that might be have designs on building pipelines in the next couple of years would be able to apply for this as long as they produce 500 BCF over 20 years. Is that the way you would interpret it?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I would. It's a fairly broad standard, again, and it would be statewide. It would also include gas to liquid and the LNG project, which would be the other two likely potential type of projects for stranded gas. I do agree with our Representative Fate's statement that basically the state could not permit an over-the-top pipeline under current law 38-35-017. There's a limitation, and I'll just read that real quickly. The limitation on leasing set on B does not, this section does not apply on and after the date of which a natural gas pipeline following the southern route that parallels the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, Alaska Transport, Alaska North Slope natural gas to the North America market for tidewater for delivery to foreign domestic markets has been completed or begin operations. Just prior to that, it talks about...
Ms. Myers, where are you? Could you?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at 35-0-0-117.
All right. Okay.
Look and B is quite clear that it does not allow the commission to issue a lease for a pipeline across state land in or adjacent to the pipeline right-of-way purposes to authorize the construction or operation of a natural gas pipeline following northern over-the-top route running east from the North Slope of Canada's basin throughout River Valley. So it's pretty clear that the commissioner has no authority to actually issue a lease for the pipeline. That's not to say, hypothetically, you couldn't negotiate fiscal terms on a pipeline. However, you could never permit it under current law.
Yeah, and that doesn't prevent the feds from doing it. Of course, they can't put it across ANWR, and they'd have to go farther than 3 miles to get it out in federal water, right?
That would be correct, Mr. Chairman. You'd have to cross state waters at some point, and also you'd have to get from Prudhoe Bay and to Point Thompson and over. So from a practical standpoint, I don't know how you would do it without crossing state lands and state waters.
Okay, just want to make sure there's no holes they can drive a pipeline through.
Not that I'm aware of, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Well, what about you said GTLs, but of course GTLs would go down the tags.
Mr. Chairman, again, I think under the definition of the project that would qualify, you wouldn't have to particularly build the pipeline. It's a qualified project under, I guess it's line 19 under page 2, C says any other technology that commercializes the shipment of natural gas within the state or from the state to one or more other states or countries. So again, I believe a GTL project or an LNG project would qualify under C there.
So I suppose they could feasibly negotiate in the next 2 years. I don't think it's going to happen, but they could negotiate some tax breaks on a GTL plant that might affect North Slope Borough. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I believe you could.
Okay. And it's my opinion that I think we should, if we're going to talk about GTLs, that should be a separate subject and not included in this particular discussion, but that's just my opinion. What about the 10%, 15% on page 3, line 10 and 12? Who's got a dog in that fight?
Mr. Chairman, I think, you know, the again, Representative Fate, I believe, addressed it. I believe it was his concern that parties within the state that could qualify for a project. So the threshold's high enough that they have to be very serious about the project and have to have significant capitalization, but wouldn't exclude companies within Alaska that are very well capitalized. But again, I think it was to try to be inclusive to capture more potential sponsors. And I think, again, that was generally not opposed by any parties that I'm aware of.
Do you know, would Anadarko qualify for that?
Mr. Chairman, depending on the project, I believe they could.
Okay. And North Slope Regional, Cook Inlet?
Mr. Chairman, I believe a consortium of native corporations certainly would have the net worth on several potential projects.
Anybody else you can think of?
Not offhand in the state. Certainly some of the major pipeline companies could, you know, outside the state could qualify as well.
Duke or?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure what their current financial conditions are, but previously they certainly would have.
Wonder if Enron's got enough assets left. Okay. Just trying to figure out who we're talking about here. Anybody else have any questions? Hearing none, we'll get out of here on time.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Just a point on process. All right. I don't have a problem with this bill as it's written. You had mentioned that if we hear it again and move it out on Wednesday, it still fits the schedule for finance, but
no, it doesn't.
It doesn't because it has to be read across.
It has to be read across, you're right.
And I mean, I don't have a problem with it. Of course, it's the purview of the chair on whether or not they want to move the bill, but I'm more than willing to move it if you want to.
I'd like to thoughtfully consider and work with the bill sponsor about a couple of minor tweaks to make sure that we maybe work on, see if we want to work on some of those issues, the GTL issue and some other projects that maybe we aren't on a radar screen, that kind of stuff. I know people are antsy for it, but I think one more day, they could hear Friday in finance if they wanted to. So the grander scale of things, I think one more day won't be a deal killer. Thank you for defending the governor's position. We really appreciate that, you doing that 3 days in a row. So.
I'm going to.
Okay. You know, just for the record, I'd like to say that I've been thinking about this for a while, that I feel it's a real privilege and honor to work with you folks. I think that we have some of the brightest minds in the legislature in this room, and I mean that from both sides
looking
of the aisle.
Looking at this side, right?
I'm looking at both sides of the aisle.
Did you wait until Senator Dyson was gone before you said that?
No, and I'm including Senator Dyson in that, and I've already told him that. So, but seriously, I think we've got an outstanding committee here, and you guys ask a lot of real good thoughtful questions. Sometimes I sit there and go, wow, why didn't I think of that? So anyway, I really appreciate working with you guys. And with that little stroke, we'll adjourn.